The following program is sponsored by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Thank you for joining us today on Kingdom Connection. It's my prayer that God will use something specific in this broadcast today to really speak directly to your spirit. We're so grateful to have you with us on Kingdom Connection today. Let's go right into the service. Look with me in Deuteronomy 22. There are laws of sexual morality, and there were things that God's word began to forbid, and it's dealing with one of those things in verse 23. If a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed, that word betrothed means engaged. If she is engaged to a husband, they're not married yet, but they're going to get married, and a man finds her in the city and lies with her. Some translation says forces himself upon her. Then you shall bring them both out to the gate of the city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. Listen, the young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, which implies that if she would have just spoke up, it could have been stopped. Now, again, remember what I just told you. But there's a real lesson in this spiritually. You got to see this through the spiritual eyes to understand the insight that I want you to get. And the young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife, so you shall put away this evil from among you. Verse 25. But if a man finds a betrothed, engaged young woman in the field, and the man forces her to lie with him, he's forcing her, then only the man who lies with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the young woman. There is in the young woman no sin deserving of death. For just as when a man rises against his neighbor and kills him, even so is this matter. Listen. And he found her in the field, and the engaged young woman cried out, but there was no one to save her. I want to talk to you about the power of raising your voice. Silence can be a sin in the times in which we live. And in this text, it deals with two young women. One of them lived in the country, and one of them lived in the city. It's kind of confusing unless you understand the spiritual implication, and here it is. You're going to get it, I promise. In Matthew 13 and 38, Jesus said in one of his parables that the field is the world. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, it says, but you have come to Mount Zion. You're in the city of the living God. So the point is simply this, that once you come into the city or the kingdom of God, once you enter into Christ, we're in the city of the living God. We're not out in the field, because Jesus said the field represents the world, but the city represents the city of the living God. And the Bible said the tragedy of the person in the field is when they are attacked and they cry out, there is no one there to hear them. But in the city, if you cry out, if you're not too embarrassed, if you're not too ashamed to say, I need help, if you're not too much of a person who refuses to acknowledge, you just want to pretend like you're okay, but you're really hurting, you're really struggling. If you can ever get to the place that once you're in the city, once you're in the church, once you're in the kingdom, you're willing to cry out and say, help, I'm struggling. I'm losing ground. I'm falling away. Help. All you got to do is cry out and the rescuer will come running. Yeah. This text teaches us to speak up, to raise your voice. If you've ever been baptized in the Holy Ghost and prayed in the Spirit, the time you use that prayer language is when the enemy is attacking you. The enemy wants you to keep your voice of praying in the spirit, praying in other tongues as the spirit gives you the utterance. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Somebody might think you look funny. Somebody might think you're fanatic. Somebody might think you're a nut. You're a religious nut. I don't care. When you go through everything that you go through, at some point, you form your own corporation. I don't give a rip, Incorporated. All I know is I need the stuff that works right now. I need the stuff that's gotten me through every valley I've been through. And sometimes I don't need a lay me down to sleep prayer. Sometimes I need a hotline to heaven. Sometimes I need to open up my mouth, and when I don't know what I should pray as I ought, the Spirit Himself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Does anybody know what I'm talking about in the 21st century, church? We need a revival of uplifted voices, praying in the Spirit, praising God with almost a militant spirit on us in a good way. The violent take it by force, the Bible said. You're not in the field. You're in the church. Many times in the Bible, people did not get a miracle because they were in the presence of Jesus. Many people were in the presence of Jesus. The people who got the miracles when they were in the presence of Jesus were people who cried out. They refused to remain silent when they got in the... Well, you're in the church this morning. And you're in the presence of Jesus. I feel His presence here. I feel His help here. I feel His anointing on the stage with me. But that doesn't mean you're going to get anything. Because if you stay quiet, you're just like those people who, if they stay silent, I believe Jesus would have passed them by. I doubt your desperation if you don't get your voice lifted up. I doubt if you really want it, if you're too proud to cry out for help. In Luke 17, 10 lepers stood afar off. They had lost their families. They had lost their wealth. They had lost their businesses. They had lost their health. The parts of their body were literally decaying on the bone. And here comes Jesus, the miracle worker. And they could have just let Him pass by, and He would have. But the Bible said in Luke 17, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, I'm dying. Master, have mercy on me. They lifted up their voice. One translation, they said with a loud voice, help. Master, Savior. And Jesus turned and He said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were healed because they lifted their voice. They would have died. They would have suffered the sentence of death if they had been silent, even though they were in the presence of the healer. Intimidation will kill you. If you don't get your voice uplifted, you could die. You could die spiritually. You're feeling the attack. You feel the tug of the flesh. You feel discouraged in your mind, beat up in your body. Maybe your marriage, your family, your children, all hell is breaking loose. Refuse to remain silent even in this service today. At some point, you have to say, I still believe. I still know that there is a God in heaven. I still know that He hears and answers prayer. And I still believe that if I call on Him, He will answer me and show me great and mighty things I know not of. Take a praise break. I'm almost done, but take a praise break. Come on, you got a better shout in you than that. It's time to raise our voice. It's time, if you're tired of the devil attacking your family, attacking your children, attacking your finances, attacking your mind and your health, lift your voice and declare, Jesus is my rescuer. Jesus is my deliverer. Jesus is my healer. Peter, the Bible said, was sinking when he saw the boisterous winds and waves. He was afraid. I love it. And he was beginning to sink. That caught my attention. He was beginning to sink. He didn't wait until
he was under bubbles. He didn't wait till he's 20 feet up under the water, taking his last gasp. But when he was beginning to sink, somebody is listening to me, and you can feel it. I'm beginning to sink. I'm beginning to go back into that alcoholism. I'm beginning to go back into that. I'm beginning. I can feel this thing. I'm under attack, Pastor. And the Bible said, and as he was beginning to sink, don't wait too late. Do it now. He cried out saying, Lord, isn't this deep theological truth here? He didn't have to pray a fancy prayer. Lord, save me. I'm beginning to sink. And Jesus took his hand and reached down and picked him up. And what he couldn't do on his own, when he took the hand of Jesus, they walked back to the boat together. But it happened when he cried out, when he raised his voice. One more. I wonder if there's any blind Bartimaeuses in the house today. Because the Bible tells the story of a man named Bartimaeus who was born blind from his mother's womb. And one day he heard that Jesus was passing by. And when he heard of Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the religious crowd, they're always there. Many warned him, be quiet, shut up. I think the intimidation came something like this. Just act like the problem's not real. Just play church this morning. We don't want anybody to know about your little problem. Shh. Don't get vulnerable. Be quiet. Just act like it's not real. That's not for you. He's not coming for you. But I love what the next part of that verse said. They warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. The King James said, he cried out louder. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shout more. Pray more. Cry out more. The more the devil attacks you, the more you cry out. The more he intimidates and tries to defeat you, the more you cry out. You're in the city, and silence is a sin in the city. Why? Because there's a Redeemer who's ready to rescue you. I got a text about 7 weeks ago, something like that. It's from a pastor friend that I've known. We've never been, you know, super close or anything, but he's very cordial, one of the greatest, nicest men that I've ever met, and very gifted, very anointed. Pastors a great church in Tennessee. And he sent me a text about 6 or 7 weeks ago, and he said, I was watching you on television, and you'll never know the message that you preached. He said, I wept in my room and I cried as I listened to you preach. It so touched my heart because I'm hurting. And we went back and forth. And you know, you just don't know who you're talking to. You don't know where they're at. And we went and exchanged some texts back and forth, and I wished him well and thanked him and prayed for him on the text and said, I'm praying. And didn't give it much thought, to be honest. Last week, I found out that that young preacher took his life. I couldn't help but think of this thought of he was hurting. But who really knew? He was at his wit's end, but who really knew? Because we're so good at coming to church and acting religious when we ought to be crying out, I'm dying. We're in trouble. I can't leave here. My family's jacked up. I need some help. I need God's help. I'm hurting too bad to pretend. Anybody ever get to that place that you can be honest with God? I'm struggling. I've got a besetting sin. Can you ever get to that place that you can say it? You can ever break the silence and say, help. He'll come running.
We used to, at the end of a wedding, we don't do it much anymore. They've taken it out of the ceremony for some reason. I guess because families are so argumentative that they're scared somebody will take them up. But we used to say this at the very end of the ceremony, right before you would pronounce the man and woman, husband and wife. There's a little statement they used to write in it. If there's anyone here who would object to this man marrying this woman, here's the big words. Speak now or forever hold your peace. I believe that we're at a point in many, many, many lives that I'm reaching right now at all of our campuses and right here and those of you watching, that the Lord is saying, speak now. Speak the word. Speak my name. Speak in prayer. Speak in intercession. Speak up for truth. Speak up for what's right. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Anybody ready to raise your voice? Anybody tired of the attack, the attack, the attack, and you're tired of it? I believe I've come with a word in season today that would say, I am still your healer. I am still your rescuer. I am still the one who delivers you out of the horrible pit. I am still the one who is your buckler, your shield. I'm your redeemer, and I have come to the city for the cry of my people. Lift your hands toward heaven and receive all that He has for you this morning. The presence of the Lord is very real here today. If you need healing right now, I want you to focus on the stripes that Jesus took on the cross. But He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. Chastisement of your peace was upon Him, and by His stripes you are healed. Now say, Jesus, you're my healer. Here comes the one who rescues. Here comes the one who fights for you. Here comes the one who is your defense, your strength, your healer, and your life sustainer. Be healed. Be healed. You're standing in proxy for someone. You're standing here and they're in the hospital or they're in the bedroom or they're in some bad situation. Right now, you stand in proxy. Raise that hand high on behalf of that person that comes to your mind right now. Come on, get a burden and cry out for them. Why don't you call their name before the throne? Why don't you just speak their name and ask Jesus, your healer, to heal them? And if they're in the field, He can take care of that too. Because the reason that the people in the field can't get any help is they don't know who to call on, but you know who to call on. And you can pray for them and God will go get them out of that field of cocaine, out of that field of addiction, out of that field of shame and sin and guilt and pain and sorrow, depression and hopelessness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why carry it? Why don't you take it to the Lord in prayer right now? Why don't you raise your voice? Why worry yourself sick about them? Why don't you just speak their name one more time? Just speak their name. Speak it in authority like He was singing. Speak it with the power of knowing there's force. I've heard a sermon today and my faith is stirred. I can lift my voice. I'm not a victim. I can lift my voice and Jesus will deliver. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I sense that God has given miracles right now. Miracles. 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 Everybody say miracles.
miracles. Raise your hand three times. Raise a hand and say three times, miracles. Miracles. I'm speaking it. I'm raising my voice. I'm claiming it. Miracles in the name of Jesus. I'm not crazy. There's power in that name. There's power in that name. Raise your voice for your family member that's on drugs. Raise your voice for your family member who's messed up in their mind, and even you can sense a little spirit of suicide. Why don't you raise your voice? Our voice can make the difference. I sought for a man who would stand in the gap and take up the hedge. Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Sing it now. Oh, I'm crying, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Why? Just raise up your right hand toward heaven. Say, Lord Jesus, I raise my voice and I repent. I turn to you with all of my heart. Have mercy on me, Master Jesus. Save me, deliver me, help me. I receive it. I know you know my voice. I know you hear my cry, and today I receive your help. I receive your hope. I receive your victory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Clap your hands and thank the Lord. Wow.
Thank you so much for being with us today on Kingdom Connection. It's because of you we're on television right now. Our number one goal for being on television is to reach people with the gospel, to find the hurting, the broken, those that feel like they don't matter and don't count, and call them into a real loving relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're hurting today, and you're watching right now, and you want to give your life to Jesus, why don't you just repeat this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, just say those words. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. You died and shed your blood to forgive me, and rose again to live through me. I give you my life. Give me your peace. Give me your help. Give me your purpose for my life. Help my family. Help me, direct me, guide me through this time. In Jesus' name, I don't want to be alone anymore. Amen and amen. I really want you to know a miracle just happened. Our team has prepared a special kit designed for your new walk with the Lord. We really want to help you. We pray that this 21-day devotional will bless you and guide you, whatever season of life that you may be in. You'll sense the presence, the peace, and the goodness of God. For decades, I've set the beginning of the year for prayer and fasting. I know we're approaching Christmas and the holidays, We've come through so much with the election, and it's feast time again. Hopefully, we'll be able to get together with our families and have big Christmas celebrations. But this January, in just a few short weeks, we'll be coming together as a ministry to set aside the first of the year and seek God in fasting and in prayer. For 21 days, we will seek the face of the Lord. Our team has put together some unique resources to help you plan and prepare and to build your faith for a successful fast. You can do it. And please know that your gift of support to this ministry helps us keep preaching the message of Jesus Christ all around the world in over 200 nations all over the world. You keep it going. You make it happen when you give. That's our primary reason for being here. Everything else is just that we do. And we do a lot of missions and we do a lot of support stuff. But the primary reason we're here is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to 200 nations through this broadcast and create inspirational resources to use and bless people's lives and tell them more about Jesus. Thank you. Please help us end strong this year. Give an unusual gift. We need your support to do what God has called us to do. Thank you.
Are you ready to transform your life? Now you can experience Jensen Franklin's dynamic teaching on fasting in his New York Times best-selling book, Fasting. You'll receive the keys to encountering the countless rewards and blessings of fasting that open the door to a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. Everything you need to access the power of biblical fasting is found in the 2020 Fasting Kit, including the types of fasts in the Bible, the secret to a successful fast, choosing the right fast for you, the connection between fasting and prayer, how to begin and end your fast, the essential components of a successful fast, what to expect physically, mentally, and spiritually. With your generous gift of $1,000 or more this month, you'll not only help us preach the gospel through the broadcast to over 200 nations globally, but help us go above and beyond to help our partners in Israel. You can request the 2020 Limited Edition Fasting Kit, plus this stunning ornament made with soil from Jerusalem. We'll also include this specially created blanket inscribed with the Numbers chapter 6 blessing and our special edition Legacy Bible with over 300,000 words of commentary, including highlights from Jensen Franklin's fasting teachings. Or with your best gift of $50 or more, you can receive Jensen Franklin's Fasting Kit and get ready for God's power to break through in your life. Fasting is a tremendous weapon and a source of power in the life of every believer. Experience it today.
Sharice and I want to invite you to join us on our Holy Land tour. It's an amazing trip, unlike anything you've ever experienced. And we'll be on the trip. We get on the buses. Our family will be on there. And I promise you, it will change your life. You've been thinking about it. You've been praying about it. This is the year to go. God's going to open your eyes to things you've never seen and experienced before in the Holy Land. Get signed up today.
This program has been sponsored by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.